With the ruling party's Frank Gehr lagging badly in the polls, the independent-minded DPP have, at times, talked eagerly of latching onto China's economic miracle, a line usually delivered by the opposition KMT. This weekend, though, with China struggling to contain a sudden insurgency in its annexed province of Tibet, the DPP had finally been delivered a reason to find its voice, and the party's old guard roared back to life. President Chen Shui-bian led the way.
Through suppressing Tibet, China has shown 23 million people of Taiwan that China is capable of using tanks and armed forces to kill the people of Tibet. The next one will be Taiwan.
Joining the DPP in marches over the weekend was Chinese dissident and student leader in the 1989 Tiananmen Square protest, Wang Dun.
It happened before in 1989, the same time, the same place, the same matter. Therefore, I think it's a signal showing that maybe there are lots of serious social problems when China is enjoying its economic prosperity. The Beijing government can only use force to suppress, but not other methods. This is very dangerous.
The events of Tibet, in a fortuitous turn of events for the ruling DPP, could now trigger a vital resurgence in the polls for the pro-independence party. As Professor Tse Cheng-feng of Taiwan's Council for Indigenous Peoples explains, China's crackdown on the indigenous Tibetan minority could reawaken the KMT's own history in Taiwan.
In the old day, the government tried to assimilate the indigenous people. In other words, the government tried to turn them into Han Chinese, even during the Japanese rule. After World War II, the KMT move in, and they do the same. But in the past decade, the government has switched gear. In other words, they adopt the idea of indigenous right and try to turn the old policy from welfare tokenism to the protection of indigenous rights.
Although indigenous Taiwanese only represent about 2% of the population, an increasing number of Taiwanese-born Han Chinese consider Taiwan their true home and embrace the Aboriginal culture. The crackdown in Tibet brings back memories of the KMT's own decades of martial law, the crushing of an indigenous uprising in 1947, and the creation of the DPP following the Kaohsiung incident of 1979. Professor Jie says it also draws out into the open the fundamental differences between the parties in their dealings with Taiwan's much-loved indigenous people.
In the short run, the KMT promised a lot of welfare program to them. They promised to increase the budget on the indigenous people. But basically, they adopt the policy of assimilation and try to bring them to the so-called mainstream society. On the other hand, the ruling party follow the idea of the United Nations, Declarations of Indigenous Rights, which is more abstract and more remote. But I think basically the indigenous elites would prefer to support the DPP. On the other hand, those who reside in their tribe or in their homeland would, welcome the immediate welfare from the government.
It's a distinction that was beginning to be lost on Taiwan's voters until the events of this past week in Chinese-ruled Tibet. Tellingly, its impact even pressed presidential frontrunner and KMT leader Ma Ying-jeou to return to focus on Taiwan's economy, with little mention of China at his rally on Sunday.
To sum up, our economic policy must target Taiwan and benefit the people of Taiwan.